Hello and welcome to Rebite number 15. This is a short and chewy conversation with somebody interesting. And today's interesting person is Ross Davis. So Ross, say hello and introduce yourself to the people.
Hello, hello. That was a nice intro. I like that, mate. Interesting. Oh, nice. I'll take that. I'll take that. I am Ross Davis. I'm MD at a design agency called Strafe Creative. And I guess we specialize in high converting, what we would call digital design. So anything that's going to be on a tablet, on a device, on something electronic, we're going to work with. I've known Tim for too long, right?
A bit of time, right?
Yeah, a bit too long. But it's an honor to be on. It's nice to have a little chat about all things kind of design and digital, and we'll go from there, I guess.
Yeah, let's. So like Ross alluded to, I've known Ross in the real life, the digital life that we live now.
No,
but in the real, and he runs the agency's a brilliant agency and has done some amazing work and amazing projects. So being as I'm one of those guys who knows a lot about a lot of stuff, but aren't very good at anything, but don't tell anybody. Like design is one of those skills. Yeah. Design is one of those skills, one of those things that I love, right? And I see the massive value in it, but I'm just no good at it. I'm not even very good at Canva, which is the entry point for this, I think.
Yeah. That's fine.
And I've dragged and dropped websites before on Wix and Squarespace and stuff, but do you know what? It's just one of those things eluded me. So I like to get people on to talk about those things with some ounce of credibility behind them, right?
Yeah. So, okay. That's a big build up, but I'll take it. Okay, mate, cool.
You'll be good. It'll be what's new? Like what's the things that agencies like yours are pushing? What's new? What's good? What's most effective in kind of design and website world and digital kind of interaction that you're seeing?
Yeah, so I think, you know, we've probably all kind of, you know, the mighty COVID has kind of changed everything for a lot of people. And obviously, you know, more and more people are having to move online. And I do think even though, you know, there's e-commerce has been around for a very long period of time, COVID has probably forced a large amount of people who have always been very against online shopping to have to use that. And I guess what we are seeing more and more of now is a slight change in what we'd call kind of buying behavior, about how people buy stuff now. So, you know, probably even, here's a great example actually, is, you know, four cars I've had, I've never test drove them, never even seen them in person, I bought them online. Like, I'm probably of a young enough age, and because of what we do for a living, I kind of see the benefit of not having to do any of that. Whereas that, you know, to drop however much money on the monthly fee or buying a car outright, like a lot of people probably want to do that in person. Yeah. But how you buy a car now, just in the past year, is now completely different. So you might get video tours where someone might record it all for you. You might do a Zoom call like we're kind of on now and someone will talk you around it. You can do kind of those drag and drops where like people will drop a car at you, they'll clean it all down, you can have it for a certain amount of time, you'll take it away. Like that would have been unheard of even just last year. And if you think how that applies to all of these different kind of sectors now that they are having to embrace even more the use of kind of digital technologies to get some of these things done. So that's one part that I would say is hugely different. And then the other one that's becoming more and more interesting is, as Tim, that marketers and designers and tech, we love an acronym, right? Don't we? So like the acronym is like IGS, which stands for Intelligent Guided Systems, which is essentially just a fancy terminology for helping a user find what they want in a conversational manner. So rather than, hey, fill in these filters of price and you know, options of all the different things you might fill in. Instead, you might try to tease that out of them with either a chatbot, or you might try to get them out of that in a series of very friendly questions that are dotted throughout the website that could really help someone. So the idea is, for example, you know, you've got your grandson's birthday coming up. He loves Lego. You can't go to a shop because they're all closed. So grandparents are having to embrace this thing called the internet.
Yep.
And rather than, and they'll go to a website, and they'll go to the Lego website, and they'll have to click through every single product, every single thing to try and figure out if that's any good. And the idea of like an IGS system, which is becoming more popular now in some of the bigger brands, is you can essentially go through them, answer a couple of questions, and they'll just tell you what to buy. So you could go on and go, you know, the question might be, because it's conversational, it might be like, how old's your grandson?
Yeah.
And then you'll tell it, and then you'll go, okay, what out of these five options, which one is your grandson? What is your grandson like? And it might be like Marvel or Harry Potter or, you know, whatever. And then you might be like, okay, what sort of special occasion? Is it a special occasion? Is it just a little treat? So rather than just saying price, we're trying to, I guess, put it into a more of a context of how someone might work on that. And the idea is that you take them through all of that, and then you get filtered down. So rather than seeing thousands of products or even hundreds of products, they might be like, hey, based on what you've told us, here's five. Here's the best five ones that are going to fit that. And like, the reason for this is like, you know, it's just like death by choice. So like, I'm sure like you've had this now with like going onto Netflix. Yeah. And you're like, where do I begin?
Yeah.
Where do I begin? And that's why they categorize everything, isn't it? They categorize it to try and make it easier to shorten the amount of options that you have. So you go, well, I just want to watch a thriller. I just want to watch what's recommended. So this IGS is the same idea. Mm-hmm. That you kind of go, I don't really know, but I have some money. I'm going to have to spend it. So rather than seeing hundreds of options you've got to pick from them, they'll just go, hey, here's the five. Just pick one from this five. And it's just massively increasing conversions. People are just going, okay, yeah, you've done the hard work for me. And I think it ties in quite nicely with the fact that you're getting a group of people who've never really shopped online. And that was always one of the benefits, wasn't it? You know, you could have walked into a shop, you could have walked into a Smith superstore and gone, oh, my grandson loves Lego. Like, can you help me? And someone would normally guide you through it. And then they would ask those sort of questions. And it's that same sort of idea that we're trying to take some of that online, and we're trying to provide some of that help.
So when you say intelligent, does that mean AI or machine learning or?
Yeah. So if we just leave that as simple as it is,
yeah,
that is essentially just it's just filters, right? Like that's all that is. We're just filtering things down. The intelligence comes from learning what is popular. So if you keep finding that no one buys one of those five options, let's probably swap that out and just put something else in. Let's not show that option anymore.
I see.
If that option is really popular, then we should probably show more things like that. So the idea is that, yeah, it can learn. It can kind of learn from all of those things. That's kind of the approach. That's what the big companies are doing. You know, the small kind of small business ones aren't, you know, you're not at that stage yet.
No.
You're not going to really use this technology, but this is kind of where it starts, isn't it? You'll have the big guns that will kind of do it, and then something will get brought in at a later point where we can make use of it.
So it does literally try and replicate the sales assistant role rather than a search function, right?
Yeah, that's the idea. It's more replacing that hand holding that you might get, but in a really scalable manner. You know, if you wanted to try just have loads of people available to chat, and actually that's kind of one of the things I did want to bring up, but it's not as easily scalable, is it? You're still going to need the man hours behind it. So it's how do we provide a really personalized, conversational, and I guess most importantly, value-driven kind of experience to someone without the cost?
Yeah. That's interesting. So there's a couple of things that are linked, I think. Part A of the question I have is, with this change in buying behavior, right, whether it's through IGS or just on like standard e-commerce, have you seen much of that change in buying behavior or like from a website perspective for B2B stuff as well as products? Like, is it the people, or do you see people like buying services and products differently from a B2B perspective? And then that leads into that, maybe that conversational, that chat piece where, you know, a lot of B2B firms have sales teams, right? Have BDMs who go out and, you know, have a fleet of cars and go and visit people and shake people's hands, which you're not allowed to technically do.
Yeah, yeah, just wave from afar.
Right. Are they, you know, like you were saying, the car example, really, car showrooms still have rooms of salespeople, I imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
But now they're doing something differently. Have you seen any of that kind of traditional sales stuff be replicated online for B2B people? Or do you think it's coming? Or
So yeah, there are some systems out there now that are working quite nicely to try bring these salespeople into the site. So one of them I actually saw is called VideoAsk. I don't know if people may have heard of it. It's quite a well-known form system that you can add into your site called Typeform. And VideoAsk essentially is, it looks a little bit odd, not going to lie, but like it sits on your website in the bottom corner where your live chat would normally be. Yeah. But it's like someone's face, and it's like the video is playing. You can click that video and it will literally start being like, oh, hey, I'm Ross. This is Strafe Creative. You know, we're trying to embrace technology, yada, yada, yada. If you want to have a quick video chat with me, press this button now. And you can literally just press that button there and it just starts like their version of like a Zoom call. Or you can fill in a form if you prefer and do it that way. So I think trying to come up with ways to bring staff into the user experience on a site, I think is going to become more and more common. Now, to answer, I guess you're the part of that I do think everything is possibly in a bad way is becoming a little bit more transactional.
Yeah.
You know, like even just for buying a website. So let's use this as an example that, you know, previously we may have gone through a process where something will come out, they'll speak to us, but they'll be speaking to a load of other companies. We would then go in, meet their company, learn about them. We'd go away, come up with an idea. We might pitch. We might have to go away, do a secondary pitch. There might be some back and forth for us to find out some answers of what's going on, and then people might buy. Like that was a pretty standard kind of process for how we would work. Whereas like we're moving to a system now of like people on a quick call, we'll understand a little bit more about them. We then might jump on a big Zoom call to have a bit of a check. We might show them the spec and then we discuss kind of prices there, and people seem to be moving a lot quicker. So most like they're kind of like, yeah, that sounds good. Like if you can hit those numbers and you can hit those figures, like send it over and we'll just say yes. So it's things are becoming, I guess people are, there's a little bit more of a trust, I think, online. And I almost feel, I don't know if you feel this, Tim, but we should all have way more time at home because we're all stuck here. Yet we seem to actually have less time because I can do way more meetings. I can do way more meetings now,
yeah,
which means I create more work for me to do off the back of those meetings.
Yeah.
Because I'm not traveling, I can just work more hours. I actually feel like I'm busier. Or I'm filling my days anyway.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of this transactional thing of people being like, I'm so busy, so let's just have a couple of chats. Yeah, that sounds good. Let's crack on, go.
Yeah. I think there's like a lot of it is around the communication. So through Zoom, which we're on for the people who don't know, right?
Yeah.
You don't have that ability to, I don't know. I want to say funny around, not that we ever funnied around, but there's the stuff, right? There's the walking around the office that you don't get, waiting for a cup of coffee in reception. Do you know what I mean? Like people, you know, the frilly bits around the side, they're discussing the, you know, pointing out something interesting or reading a poster on the wall, all that other stuff is not there. Like people I've seen in my work and in similar things, want to get to the point, right? Like we've gone on a Zoom call to discuss this thing, let's do that thing and then we can move on to another thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's that bit that's changed. And I think so it
Do you miss that bit?
I do a bit. I mean, I have to say, like, caveat, like, I've moved online pretty easily. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, in fact, we were saying off, like, pre-recording, I'm no longer on the M1 twice a day, at least twice a day, which is beautiful, right? I've got 3 hours a day back of my life that I would just spend sitting sometimes in the car.
Yeah.
Like, it was
now you can see your desk.
Yeah, now I can see the desk. It's, you know, it's, I do miss that, and I think, but I do think, like, the depth of like everybody's business relationships are, like, the ones that are good are getting better, and the ones that were kind of transactional before have not survived the last year as well.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
And I think, you know, that your series of, say, 4 or 5 meetings to onboard to get a new client, or 4 or 5 things to get a new client, is probably, like, if it's anything like mine, we had the discovery session where we discover stuff, and then a proposal, and then maybe 2 or 3 other, like, meeting the other people who are making decisions stuff.
Yep.
Right. But now that's a lot of in-between communication. So you have face-to-face to get a thing done like this. And then there's a lot more kind of emailing, like, good emails, I think, have come to the fore.
Yeah.
Good, like, the bits of information around it. I think, not that they ever weren't, but I think your company website is now probably more important than it was this time last year, because it's doing more of the heavy lifting, maybe, right?
Yeah, yeah. And if you think, you know, all those other marketing avenues where you might have met someone are closed, like, you can't go to, like, an event, really. And you can go to, like, a virtual event, but they're not always the easiest way to meet people. You know, you can't move around the room, you can't have a beer and have a chat with them. You'd look absolutely mental having a beer in a Zoom call, wouldn't you? So, like, there's quite a lot of avenues that are closed off.
Yeah.
And yes, you might have sent, you know, eventually push people to a website, but it's all these avenues that are currently shut. So, like, the main way you're going to find something is through the internet now.
And I think that one of the things that has sprung up is that, I think you alluded to it there, that kind of missing of serendipity.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, bumping into something or stumbling across something. You don't do it now, right? Because the internet works, you search for a thing and those relevant things
come up.
Like, there's I know there's stumble upon and stuff, but who actually uses that to find stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's not like Google doesn't present you a left field result just in case.
Yeah, yeah. How about this completely random thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we all just get, I think it's a lot easier to we can just get stuck in our own little worlds a lot easier now.
Yeah.
So, like, we only into, like, you know, the algorithms of Facebook and all those other things. They only show us really they only show us stuff that we interact with. So, like, what we see and our viewpoints narrow down every day.
Yeah.
So we just see more and more of our own stuff, or, you know, I'll look at a pair of trainers online and then that pair of trainers obviously follows me around. And then obviously it's all great marketing. It's all really good stuff. It's just we just become more and more enclosed into our own little worlds of what we do, isn't it? And that's great from my point of view, because my work is to create high converting things. But it does worry me a little bit, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it's that.
The old man in me. That's what it is.
Mate, it's that. It's that. that human connection you need, right? Like, I've really enjoyed lockdown because I've been able to go to a bunch of events and communities that... There's no way I'm going to London for 7 a.m. on a Friday morning, right?
Yep.
There's no way. But I can walk the 3 meters from my bedroom.
Yeah, just.
Pretty easily.
Just. Right?
Stick a shirt on the top half.
I was going to say, I was proud, mate. You've got a shirt on.
Mate, I've started getting dressed this year, because last year I wore shorts, like, literally the whole year.
What, no top, just shorts?
No. I
put swim shorts in a paddle pool.
Nobody needs that. Nobody needs that. But, this year I thought, do you know what? I've got, because obviously you do online shopping, as we've just discussed.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've inherited, like, I did the normal amount of clothes shopping despite not wearing any. So I've got in my wardrobe, I'm like, geez, I really need to wear some stuff. So I'm going to get dressed.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to start wearing shirt. Mate, I was impressed when you logged on. I was like, oh, he's got a shirt on. Like,
yeah, wow. I have to, because otherwise what will happen? Right.
But, yeah, this is true. This
but is it's, true. And then I can buy some more because I've run out of stuff to buy. Because I
like, yeah, you're like this. I've bought some work jogging bottoms because I was like, I didn't want to keep wearing shorts and jeans. And I was like, my other jogging bottoms are for like the gym or like working out, going running on. Yeah. So I bought some specific jogging bottoms because I was like, I don't want to buy like smart trousers that are uncomfortable. So I bought particular trousers for me to put them on right now, mate. Here you go.
There you go.
Yeah. So that's a new, there's a new avenue, but yeah, it's mental, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know, but it's, you know, it's that, it's that shift, right? I think there's stuff that is missing and people, you know, are excited about maybe the resuming of like human to human connection through in real spaces. Not in digital, but I just can't. I don't know what you think. You're probably more in a place to tell. But I think the buying behavior has changed too much. Like do you know what I mean? Like I when lockdown eased last summer, like people go, hey, do you want to pop to Leicester for a coffee? Which I would have had no doubt. Like I would have gone sure last time, and now I'm like, what? Why?
Yeah, it's quite far like, that.
It's like 40 minutes up. Why?
Yeah. No, you would, wouldn't you? Yeah. But I do think, though, there are... What COVID has forced is a really interesting use of how technology now is being interlinked into everyday purchasing. So that brief time when we had some break, it was nice that I could go for a drink in a pub. I could sit down. I mean, this is me being an old grumpy man. I could sit down. I didn't have to go queue at the bar.
Yeah.
I just got my phone out and I was like, give me a beer, bring it here, go. And someone bring it over in a tray. And I was like, this is absolutely brilliant. I was like, why has no one ever done this before?
Yeah.
And I imagine there's going to be things like that are naturally going to happen.
And I think that's great. Like, even my local, which is just over the bridge, just there, right? Like I know them. They know what I drink when I go in, right? They're one of the people that could go, hop house, how about that? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They're getting me, right? So there was not much friction going on. But even the table service now was even better, like and doing that. I didn't even have to use the app. They just brought it over. And I dabbed my phone and then they went away. I was like, oh, this is even better.
Yeah. That's what I mean. There was a couple of pubs like pre-COVID. There was a couple of pubs in Nottingham that I used to go to purely because they did table service and I was grumpy and I just could never bother to queue. And now it's like opened up a whole new world of pubs to me. It's like if these people keep this technology, I'll actually be able to go to more than like two pubs.
But
it's how all of that can happen. So, you know, there's more and more of these styling websites now where you can give indicate. Again, this is a great example is, I can't remember what it's called, but my wife uses one where she gave an indication of the types of clothes that she likes. And they send a box of clothes to her every month. She can try on what she likes. Sends about the stuff she doesn't want. And again, they learn from that. And that's a really great example of this kind of IGS, this intelligent guided, like they've got stylists coming up with them. But I can imagine in the future that literally being how retail's done is before you even bother to turn up, you just give an invitation, the indication of kind of what you like, you'll go through all that. They'll say, okay, arrive at 10 o'clock. Your clothes will be in changing room 5. You'll just walk in, try all the ones on, that you like, put the ones back that you don't, you walk out and buy them and you've done. And someone's already put that thought in for you. And I imagine that's kind of how some of these things are going to start to work is technology is going to, you know, if retail is going to survive and people are still going to go in, they need to embrace that a little bit more. I think that kind of stuff could work really nicely. I mean, I literally hate clothes shopping.
Yeah.
So if I could just fill in a few things and then I could walk up, not have to walk around the shop and just go into the change room and my clothes are there ready, I'd be like, this is the best thing ever. I mean, you can essentially do that already, can't you? You can pay stylists and in fancy shops if you've got the money to do such things. But it's taking that service and using it in an automated manner.
I think it's that, you know, that hybrid of stuff that will continue. Do you know what? Like across everything. I think like even the normal discussion of work from home, right? I think sure, I think people now know work from home kind of works, depending on how many young children you have, obviously.
Yeah.
Because that is a caveat, I think. But, you know, I think there'll be, like, employers will be, like, there's a company I know, Cooper Parry, who do... do some good, so, and beautiful offices, like award-winning offices they've got.
Yeah, with the big bulls.
Yeah, the big bulls, right? And, like, they've got they've gone the other end, like, you can work from anywhere, anytime.
Yeah.
But people are still going, well, the offices are kind of cool. I do want to go back in, but maybe I'll go in 2 days a week, like Thursday, Friday or something.
Yeah, that's exactly what we've done. That we've made that decision that when things do back open up, we're just going to make the offices a really nice place to be. And if you want to come in, you can.
Yeah.
But we're not going to make anyone come in if they're happy from home. And you know, it's the same for me and Paddy when we made this decision that, you know, take me 45 minutes to drive in. I was like, actually, a couple of days a week, I just work from home. It's lovely that I can just close my laptop, like, walk a couple of minutes, not a minute, but, you know, literally walk a few meters, and I'm like, ah, oh, family life, here you go.
Yeah.
So, it'll definitely be, I think that's definitely going to be a cause. And obviously, you know, we it's really nice and easy for us to say that because we can work from a laptop, we can work from anywhere. Obviously, I know everyone can't do that, but yeah, if we can do it, it seems silly not to try to take advantage of that.
Yeah, that's actually might be an interesting point to round up on. So this is obviously, like, a lot of marketing people and agency people listen to this podcast and stuff, and you run an agency. Like, what are the future? What has anything changed from your perspective from an agency? I know you alluded to, like, the onboarding, the sales process, but is there any technologies or cool things or behaviors that you've seen in terms of agency life that have changed?
I think the main one is, like, management. Like, it's really hard. It's like a skill we've had to, like, relearn how to manage people because I can't see them. I can't interact with them in the same way. I can't, you can't necessarily know how someone's feeling that day, or, you know, if you don't, there can be days where, like, I don't speak to, like, it'll be a whole week where I don't speak to a member of staff because I'm not working on a particular project that person's working on, so I'm not involved in it in any way. And one of the things I guess is really important from our point of view that we've kind of just had to learn is, and it's interesting, we've kind of touched on this before, is everything becomes so efficient, everything becomes so work-related that we lose the frilliness, we lose the important human aspect of the interaction. So, you know, it's not something we're still learning, but, like, you know, on the Wednesday now, every other week, we just have, like, an hour and a half where anyone can just jump into, like, one of these sort of calls in and out. If you're in the call for a whole hour and a half, I'm not going to have a go at you. Like, you can just chat. And the idea is, the one rule in it is you can't talk work.
Yeah.
So you can just come in, you can have a chat, people dip in and out. I might have a quick call, so then I'll come out of it and then I'll jump back in and just have a quick chat about random things. And, you know, we were discussing Pancake Day the other week about how that went well, and people were sharing random photos of what they'd made. And actually, like, you forget that side.
Yeah.
It becomes so, the only time I speak to staff is about work. It's like, hey, I need you to do this thing, or we need to work on this, or they have a problem and I need to help solve it. Like, so I think the management style and how that is done is really critical. And how you still have that collaboration. So how can you still get people involved, and how can you bring people in that kind of way? So we're just trying to include a lot more set time in our diaries for those sort of collaboration kind of points. Mm-hmm. So what may have happened in the past is, I don't know, for example, designers working on something and, you know, it's a big open plan office, so you can walk past something and designer might be like, oh, Ross, can you just have a quick, like, it'd be great just to get your thoughts on this. And you just don't get that in these situations. And then what we were finding is people wouldn't want to, like, disrupt someone. So instead, we've just been like, hey, let's just have a slot every Tuesday and every Thursday where we all just jump in and we can just, like, show our work and where we're up to, and everyone can just kind of, like, give advice. Not everyone, but, like, the designers can all give advice, and just trying to put little things in like that, which, again, it isn't formal. If you're quite happy just to crack on, you don't want to join the meeting, don't. It's just for just for to generate those moments where you can have it, I think is a really key thing that we're still very much learning. But otherwise, someone can just be left to their own devices for a week, and then you see the work, and you're like, "Well, that's not good enough." But
Well, that's gone in a different direction than I thought.
And you probably would have noticed that day one if you'd just been in the office, because you would just walk past the screen, and they probably would have asked you a quick question. But you almost don't want to put someone off, do you? So I think there's quite a lot around that sort of space that's going to be really important that we try and carry on doing. We're still trying random ideas out, and some of them flop miserably. And I think it's just willing to try them out, isn't it? And just have the team on board with the fact that, hey, we're going to try this random thing, like, just see what happens.
And I imagine that trying to, not that people should micromanage anyway, but those little intermittent bits of managing a project, like walking past the screen and noticing, okay, that's the random question. Like doing that online is the equivalent of WhatsApping them every 10 minutes going, hey, how's thing going? Like it's
Exactly, because you don't want to annoy them, do you?
no, right, you can't, that's not a thing when you're in like in iLine or sharing the same kettle. Do you know what I mean? It's not like it's different. You don't want to like we said earlier with the Zoom calls, they now have a reason. Do you know what I mean? You can't just go, all right.
Every interaction is purpose-based.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you kind of have to force those times, like, hey guys, we're just gonna log on for an hour to talk complete shit, and just if you want to join in, you can, and if you don't, you want to crack on, you can. But I'm aware that's quite a nice, like, release for people. Like, I've got a wife and a child. I still get interaction with that. We've still got staff that live on their own, so just trying to give them some form of interaction that isn't that I'd much almost sure rather them have that in work hours. To feel a bit better.
Yeah, because that's part of that. That's part of work, isn't it? I think that's part of what we learned work was without it, without it being in the job description necessarily.
100%, 100%. So yeah, we've gone off on a slight tangent there, but yeah, it's part of it,
That's
right?
all part of it, isn't it? That's all part of it. So that was good. So have you got any nuggets of things to share with the crew before we wrap up for this little conversation?
God, that's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure, Tim.
That's all right.
The one that I probably re-mention is this idea of kind of looking at something like that video ask to see if we can add a little bit of a personality into the site to see if you can do some of those things. I think that's going to be really important. And for people who are coming up to reopen their companies more, personally, I do think, and try to end on a positive note, is people have been holding on to their cash. They've been waiting around. And as we've already, I don't know if you saw in the news already, but holiday bookings in the past day have already gone absolutely through the roof. And people have been holding on to that cash. So yes, there's been lots of people's out of jobs. There's been people being very careful and there's all that. But as soon as a bit of light at the tunnel, that money's going to get spent. And I think that will do us good.
Yeah,
So
I think so.
I think it's just making sure you're ready for that, and especially if you are these bars or these other places like that is there a technology or is there something that we can be using to try and make our lives a little bit easier, or to bring it in, because people are so the difference in how people have used technology just from 1 year pre-COVID to now is going to be huge. So it's just embracing that. But yeah, I think that for me is probably going to be the main one. Just get ready to ride that wave.
Yeah, absolutely. My wife has booked a Christmas getaway. Well, the Christmas week, not over Christmas. Like last night, she booked one. So it's the same sort of thing. But brilliant, Ross. Thank you very much. Well, why don't you let people know where best to get hold of you or follow you or connect in any way?
So obviously the website is strafecreative.co.uk. So if you want to check out that, you can check that out. I'm pretty useless with social media, mate. I'm not gonna lie, you already know this about me.
That's all right.
Twitter's probably the best place to get me, which is at Ross underscore Davis, DAVIES. That's probably the best one to get me on, or you can find me on LinkedIn as well, under Ross Davis and Strafe Creative. They're probably the best two to to try find me on, really. So yeah, thanks, Tim, and obviously hugely appreciated to have me. I really enjoyed it. It's just been nice to have a little bit of time just to chat.
Good stuff. Yeah, indeed it has. Indeed it has. We'll put all the links that Ross mentioned to Video Ask and Strafe Creative and everything in the show notes. But that brings Rebyte number 15 to the end. I'll see you next
time. That's it.